You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. Welcome to the middle of the week. So, all right, hang on a second. Don't do nothing. Don't do a thing. We got Boomer's not on the board. Boomer's over here on an extra mic.
I'm on an extra mic today
because Butters is on the board.
That's right.
Butters is a thing we do on Wednesdays. It's a special sound effect.
What's that?
We call it Hump Day. Hit that special button right there. There you go.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day.
All right, we're in. It's Hump Day. It's halfway to the weekend. You guys have made it halfway through the week. Congratulations on that. And Boomer, we already heard his voice. Butters, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I mean, it's Hump Day.
It is Hump Day, and you're actually manning the buttons right now. So glad you're back in. Boom Shakalaka, how you doing?
Oh, I'm making it. It's a good day.
I mean, it's a good day because you got somebody else pushing buttons.
I know. I'm just going to be sitting over here drinking some water, not coffee.
Does that make you the button boss?
Button boss. Be all square.
Right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. So coming up at 3 o'clock today, State Representative Anthony Daniels, the Democrat House Minority Leader from the State House, serves out of the Huntsville area. He will be on the show with us at 3 o'clock today. I'm thinking that there are some things about the way he worked things in the legislative process that make him look more like a player than we had ever seen, but at the same time, also made him look more like a Republican. I'm just saying. I mean, when you get a guy who forces through a tax cut bill and convinces the governor to make it bigger and she sends it over with an amendment and everybody else just has to eat crow and do it, that's saying something. We're going to talk about that at 3 p.m. with State Representative Anthony Daniels. Y'all stay tuned for that. And then at 4 o'clock, it's Wednesday, so at 4 o'clock, the other thing we do on Wednesdays is the Grand Council. So my brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile and Dale Jackson from WVNN, Rachar in Huntsville, will both be in with me at 4 o'clock for what we call the Grand Council. And then there's this whole triple dipper that I've still got, so hit it, Butters.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. So, yeah, number one out the gate, there's this magic word they say in the legislative process, sine die. What is that? Latin for something along the lines of it is complete. But anyway, sine die. They adjourned sine die yesterday in Montgomery, meaning the legislative session is now concluded for the year 2023. So we're going to talk about what did and did not happen as they reached sine die. That's number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, haters gonna hate. Haters just gonna hate. Haters gonna, I've heard there's a song out there that says that. Haters gonna hate. Well, it's amazing to me that right here in Alabama, we have an organization called the Southern Poverty Law Center that specializes in allegedly pointing out hate when really what it does, in my opinion, is creates hate. And they have just stepped in it this year. I mean, not like they haven't done it before anyway. Believe it or not, the FBI and other news pundits and things all rely on the SPLC to tell them who's a hate group. And now who have they picked? I'll tell you about that in just a little while. Haters going to hate. And then number three, praying under fire. This one's going to be interesting. I have come across multiple stories lately where people who are simply praying on the street in like basically a silent or at least a peaceful form of protest to something else going on across the street have been arrested. And you look at it and go, when did the thought police come in and say, you're not allowed to pray? I don't recall that law, but we're going to talk about it. Praying under fire, that's number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me go over here to my comments and start my opening monologue for the day. And I'll just tell you, I am going to step out right now into a politically incorrect place. But, you know, hey, what's new, right? There's a war right now. There's a war on manhood in America right now. A war on manhood. The idea is out there right now that it's okay for men to compete in women's sports, and it's a celebrated when in fact it's really disgusting and embarrassing. The U.S. military says that only 23% of American men are fit to even enlist in the military. That's a pretty small percentage. But the war on manhood, it was already underway, and then Dylan Mulvaney showed up on, of all places, a Bud Light can. The fact that a biological male can be applauded as an influencer for prancing on video celebrating his 365 days to girlhood is a clear indication that something has gone awry. I read a book a while back. It's a small book by best-selling author Stephen Pressfield. It's called The Warrior Ethos. Now, Pressfield, he's already one of my favorite authors. He wrote an epic historical novel called Gates of Fire about the 300 Spartans who stood in the face of overwhelming odds against the Persian army. That book right now, by the way, is listed on the Right Side Radio website in our recommended reading list. But the other book that I'm talking about, The Warrior Ethos by Pressfield, he takes a chapter at a time to describe such politically incorrect things in great detail, such as duty, honor, and country, having a sense of humor under fire, the essence of courage, a sense of having civility and love but from a position of strength, or providing aid and support to the weak and emboldening others. Pressfield talks about inner wars, outer wars, and how to train up young men to be old warriors. In one very cool quote, he describes the attitude of a warrior, referring again to the Spartans in one of history's many quotes or stories attributed to that warrior society. And the quote goes like this, that there was a group of Spartan warriors approaching a crossroads, and they were met by a small group of beleaguered citizens who said to them, "You're lucky. Just a little while ago, a group of bandits was here." To which the Spartan leader replied, "No. They were the ones who were lucky." Those kind of attitudes, those character traits, if you will, many of which are learned behaviors, they're not just for soldiers. Truthfully, they're not just for men. I mean, women can have undaunted courage, right? Women can face crises with grace and poise. I'm married to a woman like that. I helped raise a woman like that. My son is like that, and he married a woman like that. But today I'm talking to men. It's what I know. I read something else recently. It was an opinion article. It was written by Allie Stuckey, titled Make Men Masculine Again. It's worth the read, because there's a whole movement on the left right now to neuter manhood, to enshrine the beta male as the role for a model of society. I say hogwash to that. In her article, Stuckey made the point that when you try to make men more like women, you don't get less toxic masculinity, you get more. Why? Because bad men don't become good when they stop being men. They become good when they stop being bad. Aggression, violence, unbridled ambition, she said, can't be eliminated from the male psyche. They can only be harnessed. And when they're harnessed, they can become tools for good, not for harm. She went on to elaborate, and I thought she did a great job at this. She said, the answer to toxic masculinity isn't less masculinity, it's better masculinity. And we know what that looks like. What it looks like is a young man opening the door for a girl on their first date. It's a father working long hours to provide for his family. It's a soldier risking his life to defend his country. The growing problem in today's society is not that men are too masculine, it's that they're not masculine enough. Stuckey pointed out in her article, when men embrace their masculinity in a way that is healthy and productive, they are leaders, warriors, heroes. When they deny their masculinity, they run away from responsibilities. They leave destruction and despair in their wake. And the consequences, y'all, can be seen everywhere in our society right now. So understand me when I say this. I'm not saying that unless you can tote a gun or lift heavy weights or wear your hair in a conservative fashion or grow the best beard that you're not masculine enough. That's not what I'm saying at all. True masculinity is not defined by your age or your status or your outward appearance. It's a compilation of more esoteric things like character, like the warrior ethos, like a work ethic, like care and concern for others, like self-sacrifice, courage. It's little things sometimes, like standing up to bullies, like speaking out for your beliefs, like sacrificing a little bit of your me time to spend time with your child, like opening the door for your wife, like paying your employees before you pay yourself, like checking on a friend in need. Again, don't confuse this monologue with some kind of preconceived notion of the poster boy for true masculinity. You don't have to be the Marlboro Man or a member of SEAL Team 6 or somebody who knows how to spit dip without getting it on your shirt. You can be rough without losing your civility. You can have calloused hands and even still wear a tie to work every day. You can be a father who's not able to be with your kids every day, and you can still be a dad to them. Now, true, the attitude of roughness and masculinity is often embodied in a mental picture of harsh ruggedness. I mean, George Orwell said, people sleep peacefully in their beds at night because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. I get it. In my day, I've known a lot of dudes, a lot of action guys, operators, members of America's elite special operations, first responders, dudes with grit and determination. A lot of them did not fit the visual stereotypical mold, to be honest. I mean, a lot of them don't live up to what a poster of masculinity would be, but they were masculine nonetheless, like in the Bible. When he was preparing to crown the future king of Israel, Samuel was taken aback that it was supposed to be David, a small guy. He was called the least among his family, the least among the tribes. But God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not see as a man sees. A man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So I don't care if you've never earned a medal. I don't care if you haven't got a penny to your name. I don't care if you have a physical disability. I don't care if you've made mistakes in your past. I don't care about any of that. Let me say right here and now, the society will be better off if men will act like men with a sense of masculinity that transcends what they look like on the outside. If they do, it will definitely resonate to everyone around them. So going back again to that article by Allie Stuckey, she concluded better than I could do, so here's what she had to say. She said this, the devaluation of masculinity, it won't end well because feminine passive men don't stop evil. Passive men don't defend. Passive men don't protect or provide. Passive men don't lead. Passive men don't do the things that we've always needed men to do for society to thrive. Rape and murder and war, they all have two things in common. Bad men who do the raping and the murdering and the warring, and the weak men who won't stop them. We need good men who will. It's not masculinity that's toxic. It's the lack of it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. In today's society, by the way, and as we move into this whole Pride Month debacle that we're in right now, the celebration of everything that men should not be, the celebration of everything that really is not masculine, the idea that men should set aside their masculinity and be more feminine, I reject every bit of that. And I don't care what you look like or how big a weight you can lift or anything else. Masculinity is the inside. It's who you are. And we need more masculine men. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, the text lines are open, by the way. If you want to text in or call in, the number is the same for either one, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Lots going on right now. Plenty of folks. So I got textures coming in already. Donna from Hartsell says, Donna from Hartsell says, that sounds like that monologue should be in the next paper, meaning I do get one published every Monday. So, Donna, thank you. I have a vote in right now for toxic masculinity ain't really toxic. But thank you, Donna. Appreciate that very much. John from Huntsville has texted in and says, Butters, you're doing a great job. So that's...
Way to go, Butters.
Hey, all he did was push a button, John.
There's lots of buttons.
But I pushed it well.
Says, hey, Butters, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. You'll get an A+. Just don't press the self-destruct button and everything will run smooth as butter. So you see what he did there? Smooth as butter.
Gotcha. Must be a dad.
Got those dad jokes flowing. Anyway, all right. Hey, listen, text lines are indeed open. By the way, don't whatever you do, no texting and driving, which I'm already not for that anyway. Texting and driving, though, just took up a whole new realm yesterday. So, I mean, you can still hold a chicken biscuit in your hands. You can still reach back and swat your kids in the back seat. You can still reach over and get your cup of coffee, which is the elixir of life. But don't you hold your hand in your hand. Don't you hold your phone. Not at all. It's bad doings.
Don't do it, guys. That's I'm telling you. You mean
it's the law.
It is the law.
Citizens arrest. Citizens arrest. I can just see. I mean, this is one going in Barney's book right now. But I look at this and think, how are they gonna shepherd this, and how are they gonna verify it was a phone?
Oh, they can't. That's the thing. It's one of those laws that they really can't. They can't do. Yeah.
I prefer to see what Siri comes up with. When she reads my text to me in my truck, anyways. So.
Siri, see, we got two Siri guys in here now.
Oh, see, both of y'all, this is wrong. Y'all talk to your imaginary friend Siri all you want to. She's staying out of my house. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird. But we'll wait and see how it plays out. But yeah, the new law just passed yesterday. It goes into effect, I think, January 1. So apparently, apparently you can have all the accidents you want between now and January 1. There are no crises right now. You have at least 7-8 months. Before,
I guess it's for everybody just to get in the habit of not touching their phone.
Yes,
it's just letting them help.
Disclaimer on that statement.
Say again.
You need to put a disclaimer on that statement. Right?
I should put a disclaimer. Yeah. We are not in Harmageddon at this point. But I still look at this and go, you got to be careful, man. That whole nanny state thing. I mean, at what point? I'll never forget. So I felt like a bad guy because one of my buddies in the Senate. He was a biking enthusiast, and he loved road biking, and he got run off the road at one point or something happened, and so he was bringing it, man, and I kept going to the podium going, how are you going to manage the enforcement of a bill that says cars will stay at least 3 feet away from a bicycle? You can't manage that.
Wait,
is a state trooper going to be riding along with a tape measure in the car so they can quickly get out? And how are they going to manage this? Well, I think it's very important. I think it's very important that they do this. Well, I get you think it's important, but it's got to be enforceable.
Right.
So anyway, all right, nanny state. There. I have now had my first rant of the day already.
There you go. It's okay.
Thank you very much. I'm going to drink my coffee. Call me when it's time to come back on. Hey, listen, Teresa from Town Creek, by the way, just texted in and says they can check your last phone message when they stop you. They can, but let me ask you this, Teresa from Town Creek, I hear you, but what happens if all you're doing is checking your navigator? How many of us use Waze on our phone?
Oh, well, yeah, that's absolutely.
What? Or what if you're like me, you drive a Jeep and you've got the dash mount and it rings and you know it, but what if people can't hear you because you're in a Jeep? So the only way to talk on the phone is to hold it up to your ear and take it off Bluetooth.
Oh, you better pull over. Don't do it.
I'm just saying. Is there music playing?
About to be.
I think there's something in the background. All right. Hey, listen. We got. There it is. I got to watch it because the pastor doesn't know when to end his sermon if the music doesn't start playing. All right. Hey, y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.